This is Mike Rowe, the Turnkey Brothers Podcast.
Brought to you by Boise Turnkey.
And in today's episode, we've got Easton. He's going to talk about really leaning into who you are and becoming the best version of yourself.
This is episode 10. Guys, stay tuned. And Matt, way to not attempt his last name.
Also, Mike Rowe's not here.
Yeah, for the record. Hey, Turnkey family, we're here with Easton Napionic, and I said his name right, which is the most impressive feat you'll see from me today. Ex-baseball player, and now he's a recruiter for a new brokerage in, right? It's a brokerage?
Yep.
New brokerage, and they're doing a new model, and we're really excited to hear more about it. So, Easton, tell us where you came from, man.
Yeah, so born and raised in Port Angeles, Washington, which is a small town, literally the edge of the world. Really all I cared about was sports, didn't know how anything else in the world operated. So went to a community college for 1 year where they specialize in drinking and playing baseball, and was lucky enough to get drafted by the Texas Rangers, played there for a couple years in their organization. And then my old college coach got a job at NNU, which was a great fit, and coached at NNU for a couple years, was like the youngest pitching coach in Division II history. For a while, won a championship there, and then, kind of just stumbled into real estate, to be honest with you. Drove by a house, was making $5,000 a year without a credit score, and I was like, you know what? I should buy a house. So here we are today.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long ago was that, and how long have you been in real estate?
So this is year 7 for me in real estate
now. Whoa!
So feels like year 70. Hopefully only a couple more years until some retirement, but... For now, loving it and hustling. Yeah,
what was your first year like in real estate, that transition?
Yeah, first year was a lot of fun. So I essentially just drove by a sign out in Caldwell and called the guy on the sign, and he was nice enough to show me like 33 houses until we found one that I liked.
You were one of those.
I was one of those clients. Yeah. The most difficult client is yourself, usually. And so looked at a bunch, found one over on Teepee out in like Middleton, and put an offer in, everything. The lender comes back and she's like, yeah, you don't have a credit score. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. I have zero debt, right? And she's like, yeah, that's not really a good thing. And I'm
no, you have zero debt.
I'm like, yeah, no, it's great. And she's like, yeah, you can't buy this house. And so through that process, learned a little bit about real estate. Again, all I ever knew was sports. And so talking to the guy showing me houses, he's like, hey, you'd be pretty good at this real estate thing. And I'm like, is it lucrative? And he's like, yeah, dude, it's pretty lucrative. Meanwhile, he's selling like 50 houses a year, so it's very lucrative. And so I went home, I like Googled, I was like, what does the average real estate agent make in the United States? And it's like $32,000. And I'm like, holy shit. What am I going to do with the extra money?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to be rich.
$5,000, 32.
Exactly. Yeah. I just tripled it or whatever. That's not how you say that. But, first year, I got my license, graduated with like $24 to my name, driving a 1986 Isuzu Rodeo, and borrowed some money from gas and, just went out and hustled. I was doing like 3 open houses a week, sold, I think 33 houses that first year, not really knowing what I was doing, and kind of talking people into buying houses instead of just facilitating them, which is what I like to do now. It was a lot, but yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Something that people kind of misconstrued is that, you know, they see this person that they want to become. They see you and where you've come from, where you've gone. They're like, I want to be that right now. But incredible people don't just happen incredibly just like right now. Like, it's the incredible time that you put in that makes it incredible, and it's how you got to where you are today, because that time commitment, that focus, always driving forward.
Yeah, it's a slower burn than people make it out to be on like social media and TV. And I mean, it's not sexy. It's, you know, I didn't go, my number one passion is hunting. I didn't go hunting for the first 2 years of working this gig because I was afraid that I was going to miss a call. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I took Christmas off, but I was showing houses on Thanksgiving every year. So, mm-hmm. It's not fun and it's not sexy, but it is a slow burn. And I don't know if it's ignorance or just luck, but I didn't really know anybody in the industry. So I wasn't ever like looking up to be like, oh, I want to be Corey Barton, right? I didn't know who Corey was, right? So I just really tried to do the best I could do. And I mean, I've got that drive as an athlete to be number one. And I kind of quickly realized you might not be number one in this industry. It's hard to do, but you're still going to, I mean, you sell 33 houses, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. So you're still going to crush it.
Yeah. And then you said something that you went from trying to sell the house to facilitating the house. Can you talk to that a little bit? That's an interesting concept.
Yeah. So I really feel like my first year, I talked half the people who bought houses with me into buying a house. I think they were like, we don't want to buy a house, but man, we got to get this guy off our ass. And so I remember that first year kind of feeling like I can't wait until I get to a point that I can work with who I want to work with, mm-hmm. and I can work with people who just want to buy a house, and I will facilitate them buying a house. I never want to feel like I'm talking somebody into purchasing a house. That's very salesman-y, and I don't think that I'm a salesperson. I think I'm a facilitator. And so it's fun now because it's like, hey, you know, no pressure. If you want to buy a house, great. If not, no big deal either. Just let me know when you're ready to rock and roll and we'll go. So,
yeah, I think another point that you made is you don't necessarily have to be, or you won't necessarily be number one in real estate. I think if you continued down that salesman, because 33 houses in your first year is incredible. If you continued being that salesman, you could have probably been number one in real estate in the Valley. But
probably, yeah.
You would never be number one in your client's eyes. And I think now being the facilitator, you're number one in real estate to them, which is more importantly because you're changing someone's life.
Yep, yep. And again, it's not that the drive is not there. I want to do the best that I possibly can and, mm-hmm. and obviously sell as many houses as humanly possible. But, I mean, just looking at the structure of some other agents, you know, systems, mm-hmm. it wasn't really where I wanted to go with my career, and I didn't want to go that huge team route where I had a ton of overhead and I had a lot of, you know, outside expenses that would just stress me out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, totally. So you went from $5 in your pocket to just hustling your ass off for 1-2 years straight,
mm-hmm.
trying to make it happen. And I want to touch on that because you went from one career, very successful, mind you, to what do I do now with the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
But you picked one thing and you just went with it. And it was an easy entrance, but a hard finish, I guess, for lack of better terms. And you stuck with it. So, because I know that there's people out there like, how do I get into real estate? Or how do I start? Where can I begin? And that was a perfect example of just go get your license. Go be an agent. Figure it out.
Yeah, yep. Go to open houses.
Yeah,
whose open houses were you going to? Were you on
anybody?
A team or?
Anybody? Yeah. So I mean, I would call people outside of the brokerage, and you know, you learn quickly that agents who have been doing this for 5, 6, 7 years, they don't want to go to open houses, and so, but their sellers want people at. They want an open house because mm-hmm. the seller thinks that the open house is going to sell the house, which is not. Sorry, but. Yeah, so I would call agents who have been doing it a while, and I'd be like, hey, I see you got a new listing on 123 Main Street. Can I do an open house? And they'd be like, hell yeah, go for it. You know, you're an idiot. and yeah, I just pulled a lot of buyers off of doing that and then tried to take as good a care of them as possible. I've never been great at past client follow-up. It's where I continue to try to get better at. Our owner over at Aspire, Jameson Shaw, is phenomenal at it, and I strive to be more like him on the past client follow-up side of things. I'm getting better at it, but again, I just have always gone with sort of a genuine, like, I don't like bulk emails. I don't like, you know, sending out stupid little cards here and there and flyers and stuff. So I've always been more of a, like, I'll just call you and see how you're doing and touch base that way. But yeah, back to your point, though, of transitioning. So I had a pitching coach, Brian Schaus, who said, if you have a backup plan, you will never succeed in what you're trying to do. You'll always fall back onto that backup plan. And my backup plan when I was playing was coaching, right? And I think that's part of why I didn't play as long as I would have liked to have, because I was always kind of in the back of my mind like, if this doesn't work out, I'll go coach and I'll be a great coach. And so with real estate, and unbeknownst to me, I did not have a backup plan. I mean, it was literally like, you're going to sell houses or you're sleeping in your car. And then the other thing, when you get released, they tell you the hardest thing about getting released is that when you introduce yourself, you're no longer Easton Napionic, professional baseball player. You're just Easton Appionic. And so I've always kind of had that in the back of my mind where I'm like, do not hang yourself up so much on being a real estate agent. Just be yourself. Mm. Be Easton. And, you know, you could go ask my clients right now, what brokerage is Easton at? And they'd be like, I have no idea. We work with Easton. You know, we don't work with a brokerage. We work with Easton. And so, and that's not to belittle the brokerage at all, because brokerages obviously support you and provide a lot. But from the client's perspective, you know, they're just working with you. So,
yeah. That's great advice, because we talk about building a team of rock stars all the time. And you never really know what half of them do or are affiliated with, but you know, they're on your team to facilitate a goal in mind, to help you. They're the who in your life that are going to help you achieve the goal. And for your clients, you're that who that's going to help them get what their goals are.
Yep.
Yeah. And yep. I love that burn the ships mentality of, I'm going to do this and it's going to work, because if it doesn't, I die. I think just culturally, we need more of that in America. And I think
it's terrifying. I mean, yeah. Luckily I was young. I think I was 22 when I got into real estate. So I had no idea, you know, but again, call it ignorance. But looking back on it, it's terrifying. Like if I was to do that right now, I'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But at the time, just didn't know any better.
I mean, you're essentially an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, you're a self-employed entrepreneur, and it's up to you to become as successful as you want to be.
Yep.
Unlike the W-2 side of things, where they have a safety net. Like, I know I'm going to work 40 hours this week. I know I'm going to get paid, you know. I just show up and do my job. Which there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's a lot of security, and you get time off, and you get to spend the holidays with your family. You know, not so much as a
Did you hear about the new, like, trend this past year? It was, like, quiet quitting or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm like, you guys didn't invent that. That's nothing new. Like, that's just called packing it in. You know, like, yeah, you're just waiting to get fired. But, yeah, looking at that on social media and whatnot, I was like, quiet quitting is – and then I'm also like, you guys are idiots for, like, making this a big thing, because now all your employers are going to know you're quiet quitting.
But, oh, yeah. Wasn't that a big thing at Twitter? Like the lady posted her walking around getting coffees and lattes and
yeah, she wasn't doing anything.
And hanging
she
out.
Was like, yeah, cash my check.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, just super proud of it. And it's astounding that people bolster that and they want to be viewed as that. I mean, I'm sure she got a bunch of following on social media, but all know that social media is, even though we're content creators and we try to put knowledge out there and we use it as a mechanism to educate. But ultimately, a lot of our followers, they don't know which Matt is Matt. You know, they know us maybe tatted one or by the handsome one.
Yeah, but it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's hard work that a lot of
I think you guys should take a poll on who's the more handsome Matt.
No, I can't. My self-esteem cannot take that. Yeah.
I don't know, though. You've got the facial hair going.
Yeah,
it'd be a tough one.
It just depends what kind of flavor you're up for that day.
Yeah. Caramel or
there you go.
Yeah, white.
Yeah, but I want to touch back on that hard work, because that's a big deal. And for those that haven't really got into the workforce or have done that hard work or have put their head down and just grinded it out, there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of like self motivation, pride in working hard and achieving something, whether it's what you want to do or not. If you spend time at doing something, whether it's a real estate agent or whatever kind of profession you're trying to get in, you will reap the benefits of those rewards. It is delayed gratification, but that delayed gratification is more rewarding than anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. The glass of bourbon always tastes a little bit better at night when you get home at 10 o'clock after showing houses all day and you're dragging ass and tired, other than, you know, if you're sitting on the couch at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Day drinking. So,
yeah,
that's my favorite thing, is rolling in late, knowing that you gave it your all and, you know, dog tired. So
you did everything you could. And before you know it, the next morning you wake up and you got that house sold.
Exactly.
Or you got that deal done.
And from the client's perspective, it's so powerful to be that type of agent who, you know, you show them houses all afternoon and you go home at 9 o'clock at night and you write that offer up. And even if they're not going to sign it that night, having it get to their email at 9:30 when nobody else is working. And the seller's not going to respond, right? It's not like you're going to get it accepted at 11 o'clock at night. You might. I mean, I've had it happen. But for the most part, just that whole, like, hey, this house is just as important to me as it is to you and your family. That is a powerful thing, because there's not a lot of industries that really take care of a client and realize how – and that's the fun part about buying your own real estate, is kind of that – you know, it reminds you of how important it is for the client. You know, when I'm buying one of our own properties, it's the only thing I eat, sleep, and breathe for 30 days. And understanding that that's also how your client is, and touching base with them often and just keeping them in the loop and working late at night for them or answering a call at 10 o'clock at night, I think that's where you really set yourself apart from being just some, you know, normal agent to
Yeah, totally. So for some of your clients, I'm sure it's the biggest investment that they make in their life.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The majority of people will never spend as much money as they do on real estate.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard to acquire that much money to spend it on stuff, so.
Yeah, they can also accidentally make a lot of money in real estate that way, too.
Yep.
I mean, look at the past 10 years, really.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people in the Valley that are sitting on maybe even $100,000 and they don't even know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they bought 10 years ago.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They're sitting on a lot more than 100 grand if they bought 10 years ago. Good
right?
for you. But yeah, no, it is. I truly believe real estate's the best investment. I've dabbled in the stock market. I've made some money in the stocks. I've lost some money in the stocks. But I like tangible things. Mm-hmm. I like being able to put my hand on something and be like, okay, if the market quadruples, I'll sell it. If it doesn't, I'm going to keep renting it out and making money on the rent. And again, kind of what we said earlier about that slow burn. Not being so caught up in what is this going to do for me next week and having the, you know, the mindset of, hey, in 10 years, can this help me retire or put my kids through college or what have you?
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to talk more about the different aspects of real estate, of yep. getting in and putting that hard work. There's so many different ways to get in. You could be a realtor, you could be a wholesaler, you could start out contracting, because you were talking about how easy it is to start in real estate.
Yep.
It really is. If you want to learn how to start a business, get into real estate. There's
yeah.
so many people out there that will help you. There's so many educational tools that are out there. It is by far the easiest thing, and I've done it. I come from a place of knowing it because I started a property management company in real estate.
Yep.
And I did it because I wanted to learn how to start a business.
Yep.
Because once I get those skills, then I can turn it into starting bigger businesses.
But it all, I think there's an underlying thing, and my father-in-law, Brian, him and I talk about it all the time because he's got a very successful electrical company in California, and so he's a big entrepreneur. But it all boils down to kind of how you're wired, and this isn't like a knock on anybody. Some people are not wired the way that you need to be, and I see it all the time. I recruit a lot of agents, and there are some great – it all boils down to work ethic, and – I think being an entrepreneur, you realize when you're interviewing people, they're like, oh, I want to have a flexible schedule. And I'm like, this isn't the job for you then. Mm-hmm. Because it's the exact opposite, to be honest with you. You never have time off. I mean, when I go hunting, I'm on my sat phone talking to clients. And again, it's not great, but it's what I signed up to do. Now, yeah, you can go golfing on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock, but you're going to be working Saturday, Sunday probably, you know? And so I think some people are wired that way and others aren't. And it's great. I mean, we need that in society, right? We need people who like going to an 8-to-5 or a 9-to-5
yep.
or whatever. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. This country really provides that. Like, you could go and be the 9-to-5, like you were saying, and live a successful life.
I envy it some days.
Yes.
I'm like,
100%.
That'd be great to be off right
yeah.
now, you know?
Yeah.
I'd love to clock out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Come home, clock out, spend time with the family.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's a mental grind.
So for me, I was that W-2 in the military. Until I was 30, like, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a safety guy. I'm flying. Like, this is it. Like, this is what I want. And then I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Now, yep. I was not wired as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But I read that book.
And it made sense.
And it made sense. It recalibrated my brain.
Yep.
And then I went on from there. I read The Cashflow Quadrant and then books on from that. And my mind shifted. It was the weirdest, coolest, most
That's
thankful
awesome.
Thing that I've
yeah.
ever seen.
Yeah.
That's,
and as we talk about mindset, you know, Matt, you're talking about starting in real estate, and there's going to be some people out there that just turn off, they click off. They're like, I'm not going to quit my career, what I'm doing today, to get into this. And you don't have to. You can keep going what you're doing, and you can make passive money with what you're doing today. Even if you rent,
mm-hmm.
you could house hack, you could sublease.
Yep.
You have to check. This is not legal advice. You have to check in with your lease to make sure you're not breaking it and you're not, you know, going to get evicted. But
no, all they have to say is Matt told me to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Matt O told you to do
this
it.
This one, not this one.
Just say Matt.
Was it
that
me?
Covers your ass,
yeah.
You know, 200%.
Yeah,
exactly. But you can get into the real estate game. Like, if you do buy a house or you do have a house, you could rent out your empty room and
yep.
make passive income and have somebody else paying your
You know what's funny? Not to interrupt you, but it's so, I guess it's just cool. Like, you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it kind of sparked something. I don't know what it was, but even when I was coaching, making $5,000 a year, right, my mind was wired in a way that I was like, it's stupid that, meanwhile, I'm renting a room in Nampa. I think it was $300 a month. Like, you can't find that anymore. Yeah. I think they were just doing us a solid because we were making $5,000. But even at that time, I was like, I remember having conversations with my parents saying, man, it really would be smart if I just bought a house and rented it out to the other coaches. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's weird. I had never read any entrepreneur books. I didn't even know what, I didn't want to do that, right? I wanted to coach. But just the way my brain was wired, it was like, this is stupid to be renting. We're throwing money away. And a book changed it for you. You know, it's kind of cool to see where everybody comes from and ultimately, you know,
yeah,
comes
like
to that
how
conclusion.
Different people will have the same message click different ways.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. Accidental landlords. See it a lot. And you're like, whoa, wait, this actually works.
Yep.
And then you're talking to this person, they're like, oh yeah, I got some people rent out my house over here and this one over there. Like, oh my gosh, have you read any real estate books? Have you done Bigger Pockets? Have you read any books? Like, no.
No.
It just
makes
so
sense.
Scaled it.
I did it on TurboTax. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That was actually last podcast.
Right.
Yeah. If you need tax advice, check out episode 9.
We all do. Great. So that we went over those first 2 years, and then you talked about you didn't really want to build a team. You didn't want
to. I had the desire to build a team, and so we did. Built a team, recruited a decent amount of agents to it, kind of just didn't work out. Went back to the brokerage that I had previously been at, and was the sales manager over there for about 2.5 years. Now I'm lucky to be over at Aspire and really excited about what we got going on there. So
yeah, and that's launching tomorrow at the showing or the shooting at this podcast. So today's the 4th, and that's going to be the 5th of July, right?
For the record, Matt thought that it was past the 5th today because he kept asking me about how the launch went, and I had to remind him to look at his calendar.
Yeah, guys, I'm in March right now. I'm so far in the future. You guys need to catch up. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, we're launching tomorrow, so you guys will be seeing this. We'll be launched. Really kind of changing up the game. So we'll be the first one to do this in Idaho. There have been some that have done it in other states, and they've been wildly successful. And so without giving away too many of the goodies, essentially it's going to be the first free brokerage. No monthly cost, no... They get 100% of their commission split. So really just focused on taking care of the agent and making it as worthwhile and as lucrative for each agent as possible while still providing stuff. And I think that's important because in real estate, we always talk about like high value, high cost or low value, low cost. And so we were like, well, let's create a low cost, high value. And have a great team around us to do that. So, you know, again, without spoiling too much, you got to call me to see what we're really about. Sure. But, you know, full-time social media people, full-time graphic designers, full-time photographers. I mean, and then having a full-time mentor, which is kind of my real position, I think is super important too because, you know, real estate does happen late at night and on the weekends. And so, you know, if you're somewhere where the doors are open Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock to 5 o'clock, like you're writing up contracts after that. You're kind of just throwing darts at the wall, hoping that something sticks. And again, filling out a contract, this is the most money that person's ever going to spend. You better get it right. Because if not, you're A, going to be stressed out, and B, might be in a little bit of trouble if you really screw it up. So
how are you guys doing that? A totally free brokerage?
Yeah. So
without
vendors,
giving too much away.
Yeah. So vendors have always been helping real estate brokers. And so we're just kind of moving that vendor money from our own pockets to keeping the lights on. And providing a house for hopefully the large majority of real estate agents. So
yeah, okay. So what incentivizes you to be that mentor? Because you're not going to get a cut of these guys' commission, right?
Yeah, so we have a little bit of a mentorship cut on like the first deal. So okay. I will get kind of rewarded for my time on that, and it's very small when you look at like other mentorship programs. But really, just trying to build a brokerage that people feel comfortable at and that we don't have any turnover. Real estate is a very turnover heavy industry, right? Yeah, somebody goes totally. Somewhere, 4 months later they move. And so trying to avoid that and really just come out swinging with what our best option is for everybody, and I think we nailed it, to be honest with you. It's already doing very well, and we haven't even launched.
Nice.
Unless you're you.
So your value isn't even in, like, the money that you're earning from these agents. Your value is the agent itself.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, we're trying to build it kind of as big as possible and create a brand where, you know, a client sees an Aspire agent and knows they're going to get treated right, they're going to get taken care of, they're going to hustle, and they're going to have a team around them. Because, you know, I think it's really important, as much as I am a hustler and I've been running around with my hair caught on fire, my good hair, for 7 years, but you got to have a good lifestyle too. Mm-hmm. And I think with real estate, that's hard to do because you're so on call all the time that, like, going on a camping trip is tough with your family because you might be out of service for 5 days. And so having a full team around everybody, mm-hmm. to where that client knows, yeah, hey, you know, Matt might be out of town, but he gave me Easton's info. So if I have a concern, I can call Easton. And so having that support around, I think, is going to be really great for the client, which then will translate to brokerage success. So
client's going to be taken care of more often.
Yep.
The agent's going to have more time to themselves, not only for their family, but to be a better agent as well.
Yeah.
Because the whole team is looking out for
while making the most amount of money that they can. So, yeah. You know, now you go from, you know, maybe a high split to coming over here. And I mean, yeah, I want you to sell the same amount of houses, but if you sell half as many homes, you're going to be taking home just as much money. So now your lifestyle is that much better. You got more time to spend with the family and do stuff you like doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, and you guys said that you have a photographer, social media, content creator, or no, the graphic designer.
Graphic designer. Okay. Yep. So, and I'll be the first to say I'm not great at social media.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to start in this industry when you did not. I actually leaned into not having social media. And so I work with a lot of people who are, like, you know, true Idahoans, who, like, are against social media. And I'll, like, talk badly about social media because I don't do social media. And so I've kind of leaned into that. But having said that, if I was starting today, I obviously would need to have a social media presence. And I recommend to all of our agents that they do have a social media. Mm-hmm. I'm just not the guy to ask about it because I got away with not doing it, and now I'm stubborn. So
you're one of the few people that I've heard of that is like, no, I'm not doing social media. Yeah. Hard no, hard pass. Is there a reason?
And then it worked.
Yeah, and then it worked.
There's plenty of people who are like, no social media, but they're living in a box.
I have nothing against it. I mean, like, I'm on Instagram, and I just scroll through it, and it wastes a lot of my time, I'm sure. No reason that I'm, I guess, against it. I'm not versed in it enough to where I think I would be good at it. And so there's other ways that I think I can use my time a little bit more, you know, useful.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, because social media takes up a lot of time.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's an incredible amount of time, and you're not making any money doing it.
Yeah. Now, but like another agent lead that we have over at Aspire, Jesse Taff, who's phenomenal, his social media presence is incredible. And I'm like, dude, that is awesome. Like, do I wish that I had that social media presence that he has? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It took him 5-6 years to get to where that is. Again, yeah. Talking about that slow burn.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we definitely recommend to all of our agents that they have it, they use it, they take full advantage of it. But I don't know, it's just something I've gotten away with not doing, and maybe it'll bite me one day. But for right now, my clients seem to like it. So
yeah, but it's your highest and best use of your time.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning when you had $5 in your pocket.
Yeah, and that big 7 years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
Really? I mean, I know it was around, but what was it? MySpace back then?
Yeah. Exactly.
Napster,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Yeah. Okay. So moving forward with Aspire, like, where do you see the next 6 months and the next year taking you?
Yeah, and I hate that I keep saying it, but it is the slow burn type of deal. I think in my past couple ventures, it was like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, and then quickly kind of burn yourself out of it. So I really wanted to go into Aspire with Jameson and with Jesse with an approach of like, let's just go to work every single day. Let's get our name out there. Let's tell people what we're about. Going back to like having to sell something, I really don't feel like I have to sell Aspire. Mm-hmm. I feel like people just need to know about it and they're going to see the worth and the value in it. And I mean, just right off the get-go, we've kind of been recruiting this last week. before the launch, and it's been going great. And I think people are really taking to what we're giving them, and they like what we've got going. And so I think in the next 6 months, you know, we've got some internal goals on how many agents we have, but more than anything, just kind of put a good name out there and start building that name up as a company who does a really good job for their clients and is also very easy to work with from another agent's perspective, right? Because a lot of times I think people look at real estate as a, like, if you're the listing agent and I'm the buyer's agent, like, I'm going to fight you. Yeah. Like, lawyer, you know, A Time to Kill, Matthew McConaughey. Shout out, Matthew. All right. Like, it's a battle, and it's not a battle. It is kind of a meeting of the minds. Like, we are going to try to practice non-adversarial real estate, right? I want my buyer to get the house. I want the seller to get their money. Mm-hmm. Let's swap keys. If everybody leaves that transaction feeling good, then we've done our job as real estate agents, and it doesn't have to be like a you versus me, one side wins, one side loses.
Right.
We both can win.
Yeah, once the purchase and sale agreement is signed, you guys are now a team. And
get to the closing table.
Like, exactly. Get to the closing table and make the clients both on both sides as happy as possible.
Yeah.
So nobody has a headache.
Yep, exactly. So I think just trying to build that for the next 6 months and let people know that we're a legit company and rocking and rolling, and obviously keep recruiting. That's the name of the game. No poaching.
Yeah, no poaching. Yeah.
Right. But these other agents that you're working with, when you come to the closing table, like, man, how do I become a team member on Aspire?
And that's the that's hope awesome. Is that just by doing what we're doing, the word gets out there and people see what we've got going on and want to know more about it. And if that's the case, let me know and we'll sit down.
So how is somebody just coming out of real estate school? How are they going to get in touch and even find out about Aspire?
Yeah. So I do usually give a speech every month at real estate school. Which is a lot of fun. I really like doing it.
Nice.
But I think that's where we really are going to appeal to the large majority, because if you're a veteran agent selling a lot of houses, we've got everything that you need, and you're going to be taking home the maximum amount of money. But if you're a brand new agent, right, the mentorship program is going to be huge, because, like, I'll go on listing presentations with you. I'll go on showings with you. You've pretty much got 24/7 access to me for contract help. I'll review every contract. We'll meet in person every week, develop a routine. I'm a big routine person. We actually watched that movie the other night, Nikki and I. It's Passengers with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, yeah, the space movie, right?
Yeah. Which got, like, really bad reviews. Mm-hmm. I watched it, like, back in 2016, and for some reason just wanted to watch it. And I love that movie, but she was laughing because she was like, honestly, if you were like Chris Pratt alone on that fancy ship, she's like, you'd have a routine dialed in 2 days to where, like, okay, I got to wake up. I'm going to eat X, Y, and Z. I'm going to go get my lift in. Then I'll go swim. I can't do this until I do, because I'm just such a routine person. I would probably be fine alone on a spaceship,
yeah,
drifting off into space. So
discipline equals freedom.
Exactly.
And now you have the freedom to use your time as a mentor to help other people out.
I've become really big into the, like, just on my, again, I'm not a big tech guy, but on my phone, just in the notes, I learned how to do, like, the bullet point thing. Yeah. And so every night before I go to bed, I just write down everything I got to do. And I got this from Matthew McConaughey, actually, where I don't know him. I'm a fan. if you're watching, Matthew, I'd love to meet you. Have a beer. But it's really nice. It helps me go to sleep because I'm a big thinker. So I have a hard time shutting my brain off. And so I'll lay there and I'll be like, man, I got to call them. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so I'll put down everything, like make coffee, lift, go for a walk, feed the dog, a lot of, like, minuscule stupid stuff. But what happens is, as you're going, you might have clicked off like 7 things to do before 9 a.m. And so you feel like you're being really productive, like interview, recruit, call Chris about da-da-da house. And so as you're going through your day, and what that allows me to do then is, let's say I get to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and everything's crossed off, go enjoy the rest of your day. Like, that's part of being an entrepreneur, is being able to access that free time. And what's happened the last couple of years is that I'll get to 4 and I'll feel so guilty about taking that extra 2 hours off because I'm used to working until 6, right? And so now by having this checklist, it's like, no, I did everything I needed to do. Like, go enjoy the rest of your day. So that's been really good.
Mindset. I love this. I want to talk about it a little more. So Henry Ford said that the hardest thing to do is to think. Mm-hmm. And I always have the steering the ship analogy. You need to steer the ship and you need to row the ship. At night, you're steering the ship. You are using that mental capacity of laying there and deciding what is most important that I need to get done either tomorrow or what's going to achieve my goals 10 years from now. How can I start chipping those things away? And you write them down because you're thinking about it. You're steering your ship. That way, the next morning when you get up, you can just row as hard as you can because you know you're rowing in the right direction.
Yep. Yeah, there's no steering involved.
Right.
You've already done all that. And it does allow me to be like, okay, I'm not going to forget about any of these things to do tomorrow. Yeah. So, like, go to sleep, dude.
You can
so.
Turn your brain off, reset through sleep, and then wake up the next morning refreshed and ready to go.
Hit it. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate having you on today, but we do have a couple more questions before we get close out of here.
Let's
The biggest thing that we like to ask is, what is one thing or one step that somebody could take today that's going to help them achieve their goals, whether it's reading, work ethic, whatever it is, you got the floor.
Okay, so he kind of gave me an insight that this would be a question, so I had a little bit of time to think. But I do say this a lot, like in real estate school and whatnot, is lean into who you are, right? So baseball analogy, we had pitchers who were laughing, funny guys, jokesters, and then we had guys who would get in a fist fight, right? Well, if you go onto the mound and you try to be that hard ass who, you know, oh, I'm going to throw inside and I'm going to bean this guy and then we're going to get in a fight, people can see through fakeness. And so if you're the guy who's just having fun and out there willy-nilly throwing it, go be that guy. But if you're a hard ass and you want to go get in fights, be that guy. And same thing, and don't get in fights in real estate, but same thing in anything you're doing business-wise or entrepreneur or whatever, is like, lean into who you are. I am not an early riser. And for years, I felt really guilty about that because, again, you get on social media and you see Mark Wahlberg getting up at 3 a.m. and you see people going, if you're not up before the sun, you're not going to be successful. And I'm like, shit, I wake up at 8 every day and I've been doing just fine. Now, I stay up till midnight working. So I don't think that matters as long as you're getting done what you need to get done. Mm-hmm. And yeah, don't go out there striving to be, you know, the next Easton or the next, you know, Jesse or the next Jameson. Go out there and just try to be the best you. And I think you're going to, one, have a lot more fun doing it because you're not going to be stressed out trying to be something that you're not. And two, I think people are going to take to you a lot sooner because they're going to see that you're genuine and authentic.
Yeah. That's huge, being genuine and authentic, being your own true self and not relying on the image that you want people to see. It's like going back to social media. Like you almost can't be genuine or authentic on social media because you have to be what everybody else is being to get into the algorithm to further your brand. And like, what is your brand? I mean, what is that worth once they meet you in person and you're not the same person that you're facading to be on social media? Then you've lost all interest and all trust from your clients.
And you start to lose who you are, right? Totally. I mean, like, real estate for tens and tens of years was a suit and tie business, right? This is about as dressed up as I get. But my clients feel very comfortable when they're around me. Because if I wore a suit, I'd feel uncomfortable. And so then I'm not truly myself. So then I'm not able to connect with them the best way that I could. I wear the same boots for the last 4 years. I got like four pairs of these jeans that I just cycle through. And
okay, but for the record, you are always fully clothed, correct?
Not always. Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Nikki always says that she can tell how good of a day I had by how low the button-up is buttoned down. You know, come back and she's like, yo, you've only got two buttons today. And I'm like, it was a good day.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Right on. Well, lean into who you are.
Yep.
I love that. All right, so for those of us listening that don't know who you are or trying to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get in touch, especially since you're not on social media?
So I don't know if you guys can just link down below.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Put my cell phone. That terrifies me.
Yeah.
But yeah, throw my cell phone down, email, text, email, whatever you need. Obviously, if you're a client, I'd love to work with you and sell you a house. But if you're an agent and looking for a good fit, or you know somebody who is an agent and might be thinking about jumping ship, we'd love to sit down and tell you a bit more about Aspire and what we can do to increase your career and increase your wealth.
Yeah. So.
And as always, if you guys do want to get in touch with Easton, you can reach out to us if you can't find his contact info, and then we can link you guys through email or through text message.
I was planning on blocking both of you when I was done with this.
Yeah.
But I guess I'll wait a while.
I mean,
that's
hey,
insurance for us.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You do what you got to do.
All right, Easton. Well, hey, thanks again for coming on today. You've been an amazing guest, and I couldn't. That was awesome advice. Lean into who you are.
Perfect.
I'm taking that advice.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys. Go Ducks.
Hey, everyone. We're the Turnkey Brothers, and thanks for tuning in with us today.
Don't forget to smash our algorithm with those likes, subscribes, and sharing it with someone you think would benefit from this episode.
Also, don't forget to follow us on your favorite social media platforms at Turnkey Brothers.